Hey, Steve, how are you?
Doing really, really well. Okay, let me start with Carson Wentz. Look, the season is on the verge last Thursday night of going south because losing to the Giants would have been a damaging loss for them. In the moment where they needed him, what did you see that really told you something?
I saw a guy who's clutch, a quarterback who's fearless under pressure, a quarterback who, no matter how much he gets hit, gets up, goes out there, fights, withstands the heat, the pressure, the criticism, playing behind an offensive line that's been decimated, a receiving core. His last 8 touchdown passes have been to practice squad alums. So they're depleted. They're decimated. Carson's doing the best he can out there. And what I saw last week really reminded me a lot of Brett Favre. And I posed that question to Doug Peterson the day after the game because Carson was really coming out of college, coming out of North Dakota State. They compared him to Brett Favre. And then the first 4 seasons, I didn't see that style of play. I saw a guy who was more careful with the ball, who was more cautious playing within the system. And lately, the past couple weeks, maybe 2-3 games, I've seen Carson go outside the system, try to be a playmaker. And kind of sometimes he's reckless with the ball because he trusts in his ability. He's confident in his arm. And you see him make a cross-body, cross-field throw that you cringe at, and the ball ends up getting dropped. So it would have been a big play. But I think sometimes you need a guy to be a playmaker, and he's kind of like that old gunslinger, like Brett Favre, and I'm seeing him play with that kind of mentality. There's risk to it, but there's also great reward, and we saw the reward last week against the Giants.
Where are they injury-wise right now?
Man, they're still banged up. So this week they may get Jalen Reagor back. It's looking good for Jalen Reagor to come back since the thumb surgery. But Alshon Jeffrey, who they've been waiting on and waiting on, his foot's okay following surgery to end last season, and now he's got a calf injury. So don't look for Alshon to be back out there. Obviously, they lost to Deshaun Jackson last week, so he's going to be out for a while. So it's going to be the young kids at wide receiver for the most part. Jason Peters looks like he's going to be ready to come back this week. The question is where? Do you bring Jason Peters back and put him at left tackle in place of Mailata, who's been playing very well, except for a little bit of a bump last week against the Giants? Or do they move Jason Peters back to the right guard spot? They're going to have to start him. I don't anticipate bringing Jason Peters back and the respect that this team and the organization has for him to bring him back, activate him, and put him on the bench. So he's going to be out there. I would think he's going to be at the left tackle spot, but that's something that they're keeping close to vest, and we'll see as the week plays out.
Right. No, exactly. Hey, obviously, Boston Scott did a good job, you know, holding that pass. But having a Miles Sanders out there would make a big difference for them, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Miles Sanders, I think, has the potential to be an elite back in this league. And one of the biggest issues, obviously, with him has been his availability. He's been banged up a little bit. But I spoke to LaDainian Tomlinson before the season started, and he said, I think, and LT, obviously, as we all know, is a Hall of Fame, and he said, I think the question with Sanders is Doug going to give him the ball? That's it. That's the only thing that's going to prevent him from being a superstar type running back is whether or not they give him the ball. They started the season out once he came back, and they weren't really leaning on him. I think that was maybe because he was out so much in the preseason, and they were trying not to give him too many carries, too much of a workload. A couple games there, we didn't see him at the end of the game, where I was a little concerned, like, why isn't your best player out there? Why are you giving carries to Boston Scott and Corey Clement at the end of a football game when you should be giving them to Miles Sanders? Once he gets back, once he gets healthy, if he's fully healthy, I thought he was going to have a breakout year, 2,000 yards receiving and rushing type season. Obviously, it doesn't look like he's going to be able to do that this year, but something that's certainly future. We saw a couple of runs. That's what he brings to the table. Anytime he gets the ball, you know, this, he can go to distance.
Right, exactly. Travis Fulgham had played 3 games last year for Detroit. And had exactly the same statistics you and I did last year. Zeros.
Yeah.
What is it about him that has allowed him to emerge and allow Carson Wentz to trust him?
He's big. He runs excellent routes. and that's something that the team has lacked. Guys who actually run crisp routes, and that's allowed Carson to trust him because he knows where he's going to be, and he throws him the ball, and he's going up and he's making contested catches, which is something that we haven't seen often from Eagles receivers. Sometimes they're open, rarely, and when they are, they oftentimes drop the ball, but we don't often see Eagles receivers go up and make a play. And Travis Fulgham has come along seemingly out of nowhere, and he's going up. We saw it against the 49ers in the win in San Fran, and every game since then, if he's in traffic, if he's there, he's going to try and make a play. What I really like about him is even the plays that he doesn't make, there was a 35 drop against the Steelers. Not really a drop. It was a tough play. It was batted down, and he thought he should have caught it. That cross-body throw that I alluded to earlier, yeah. He thought he should have caught it. So you have a guy who doesn't blame the quarterback, who's not throwing anybody else under the bus. Even when he doesn't make a play, he expects to make a play. And I think you got to give credit to, we get all over Howie Roseman and his draft and the failure to develop guys and taking J.J. Arcega-Whiteside over D.K. Metcalf in a second round last year, which is going to be looked upon by Eagles fans as one of the all-time great blunders. But when you're able to find a kid like Travis Fulgham off the waiver wire, if he develops and continues to be a top-flight receiver, that's a pretty good find.
No question. Defensively, what to you have been the bright spots defensively? It hasn't certainly been a shutdown defense, but it's been good enough to win two of the last four.
Yeah, and I really put a lot of this team's struggles on the defense, because when you score 29 points and 28 points against two of the stingiest defenses in the league in Pittsburgh and Baltimore, you should have won those football games, but the defense couldn't stop them, and they couldn't stop the Rams, so that cost them there. But like you said, they've come along a little bit. The defensive line is obviously the strength of this team. The depth that they have there, they're somewhat challenged now because they've lost Malik Jackson and Hassan Ridgeway inside, so they're down to their top two defensive tackles, but they're down their third and fourth guy. Brandon Graham's been a bright spot. He's got six sacks coming off the edge. Derek Barnett, I think, is starting to step up and play a little bit better. He's got a long way to go to be the guy that they expected when they drafted first round in 2017, but he's showing me something lately. And Darius Slay's been, I think, everything they expected back there in terms of not necessarily like a shutdown corner in the mold of a guy like Deion Sanders or Darrell Revis, but he's given them the ability to allow them to let him cover the other team's number one receiver, and he's got a tough challenge this week with Amari Cooper, and he'll shadow whoever that guy is, and he's done a pretty good job there too as well. Their issue's been linebacking. I think Alex Singleton played well last week, and I expect him to potentially get more snaps. He might even get more snaps than Nate Gary going forward, so that's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Well, I want to ask you about Brandon Graham for a moment. I mean, this is the longest tenured Philadelphia Eagle. I remember Penn State played Michigan 2009, and Penn State went to Ann Arbor and won with complete ease, like 35-10. I remember saying to Jack Ham, I said, Graham's the only legit NFL guy they have. Well, he's legit, all right, 11 years later. Why does he continue to produce at the high level like he is this season with the six sacks?
That guy's got an energy level that's unlike many players in the league. He's just nonstop. He's always got a great attitude, and I think it starts there. It starts within. When you look within his personality and you see who's happy, who's always positive, who's always cheerful, and he knows that he's kind of like that glue that gets everybody going. He's just got that kind of energy, that push, that excitement. And it's tough when he gets out there and he gets going, and he's always yapping. He's always yapping on the field. He's a trash talker, one of the big-time trash talkers in the league, and he backs it up. And, you know, there was a period of time where, remember the Chip Kelly years where we thought, all right, Brandon Graham's time, he thought his time here was done. They tried to move him out to linebacker, and he withstood that, and he's obviously going to go down in Eagles history as the guy who caused the strip sack on Tom Brady to secure franchise's first Super Bowl title. So he's always going to be remembered for that. But it's great, like you said, in his 11th year to see him potentially maybe have his best season in terms of sacks.
So is the key to the game this week. If you shut down Ben DiNucci, you shut down the Dallas Cowboys. Let's be honest here. I would never put together in the same sentence.
Zeke hasn't had a 100-yard game right this season, which is strange.
Yeah.
And this is a banged up offensive line, a big time. As bad as the Eagles are banged up on that offensive line, Dallas is too. And the Eagles, with the strength being a defensive line, you got to get after him. And Jim Schwartz has been known to put a lot of pressure on young quarterbacks. I think Ben DiNucci is going to be in for a big-time rude awakening in his first NFL start. And a lot of people anticipate this being a closer-type game. I don't see it. I don't often pick blowouts. I don't often think teams, especially picking a bad team like the Eagles, at 2-4-1 to route anybody is a surprise. But it's got all the makings for that. I think there's some fear factor. I don't know if you remember the Joe Webb game. You remember the Vikings winning in Philly in 2010 with Joe Webb replacing Brett Favre? There's some Eagle fans who point to that and are scared.
I'm actually someone who's announced a Ben DiNucci game.
Are you really?
When he was a Pitt. he came in and mopped up late against Penn State at Pitt in 2018 before he transferred to JMU.
Oh, wow, that's right. Yeah, that's right, he did.
I used it as a resume builder. All right.
You know, it's funny. Today he said, I saw this quote coming out of Dallas. He said he walked up to Dak Prescott and he said to Prescott, you didn't tell me my rookie year was going to be like this, and Dak just gave him a hug. I think he needed it because he's in over his head right now.
Oh, he's going to need Zeke Elliott more than any quarterback in America on Sunday. Hey, Rob, a lot of fun. Appreciate it very much.
Hey, Steve, anytime, man. Thank you.